Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Labor Day weekend is often the last opportunity many of us have to explore the great outdoors in this summery weather. And when we do, most of us use some sort of smart device to direct us. But now, imagine a world with no GPS, no Google Maps. How would you find your way? Well, a few years ago, that's the problem that confronted Harvard physics professor John Huth. He was on Cranberry Island in Maine and had decided to rent a kayak from a local outfitter.
And she was out of compasses and maps. And I kind of knew the area, kind of, sort of, not totally.
He paddled on.
I was halfway across, and the fog started to close in. And I was kind of panicking, but sometimes when you get in these situations, you know, all of a sudden your mind starts to process huge amounts of information.
Huth started paying attention to the wind direction, the swell direction, to the sound of waves grinding against lumpy rocks on a distant beach.
So I kind of kept all those in my head, even though I was nervous as hell. I noticed that the lobster buoys all had little wakes on them that indicated the direction of the incoming current. And so I followed that. So it was kind of like I was discovering on the fly all these natural direction indicators, part of which was because I was just scared, you know, out of my living daylights.
2 months later, he was once again kayaking, this time off Nantucket Sound, again without a compass, and again the fog rolled in. But this time he'd already noted the wind and wave directions before leaving shore, so he returned to land safely. Two other paddlers were not so lucky. They went missing in that same fog. Search and rescue recovered the body of one young woman. The other was never found. The experience stunned Huth. He says the only difference between him and the lost kayakers was the fact that he'd noted the smallest of clues nature provided. It drove home the point that our dependence on geolocating technology has, as Huth puts it, obscured a more primal sense of relating to our surroundings. John Huth decided to change that. Over the next year, he taught himself navigation through purely environmental clues. Everything from celestial and solar navigation to learning how to read what wind patterns and cloud formations could tell him about the coming rain. He learned about ancient cultures and navigational technologies and what new science tells us about how the brain builds mental maps. He put that knowledge in a book published last summer called The Lost Art of Finding Our Way. Around that time, Huth gave me and Radio Boston producer Amory Sievertson a lesson in natural navigation as we scrambled up rocks and rambled off trails at the Nobscot Scout Reservation near Sudbury.
Oh, we're going to go this way. All right. In a place like this...
This is a sort of a stopping place to ask you a question, too.
Oh, no. Let's stop then. Okay. Absolutely.
Well, so we have one of two choices here. We can do the real hardcore off-trail stuff to really muddle you up, or we can stay on trail and I'll walk you around a bunch of like random trails. I think I know your answer.
Well, actually, I was going to say we should do it.
Okay.
So here on a day like today where it's overcast, so there aren't necessarily shadows that we can use that I can see so far.
Go
this way?
Let me just check. Yeah, this way.
There, I can't really tell exactly where the sun is, and there's no shadows off the trees or vegetation to help out. So, well, I mean, what would you do?
Well, in this case, you'd have to have a pretty good sense of direction. Another thing is the actual topography of the land. So here, it's interesting. There are two creeks that feed the Sudbury River, and there's a bit of a ridge in between. And so the if you know which side of the downhill slope you're on, you can use the slope as an approximate guide to direction. So, you know, that's a little bit of local knowledge that you could use to find your way.
So truly finding your way, it seems to be something that you can use every single one of your senses practically. You know, listen for sounds, look for, you know, obviously a lot of visual clues and landmarks. I guess maybe not taste, but...
Smell,
the
though.
The smell.
Yeah, sailors who have been up to 100 miles off of the coast of New Zealand can smell newly mown hay. And I talked to one woman who was did a circumnavigation of the globe, and when she was approaching Senegal, she could sense the dry air and then sort of the agricultural smells of Senegal, and then finally kind of the stench of the city as she got closer. So, yeah, so that was pretty.
And that's well out of sight of land.
Yeah, she was well out of sight of land, and she actually used smells as a way of kind of finding her way in, which actually seemed more reliable than anything else she had at her disposal. So we should be coming to a pond, otherwise I've steered you completely wrong here.
I see some water up there.
Ah, good.
To the left.
That's a good sign.
Well, there's a trail marker.
Yep, there we go. Okay, yep. We're good. Okay. So this is another kind of challenge, is that
natural features change.
Features are going to change over time, over the course of a year. This pond was pretty full in April and May, but now it's dried out a lot because we've hit midsummer. So you can pick a landmark on the far side and then head to that.
Suddenly, there's a break in the clouds. Light spills onto the ground.
It's a time. Oh, we got a clearing. Ah, cool. Oh, yeah, let me quickly see.
John Huth sprints to one of the new pools of sunlight. He crouches down and pulls a long board out of his backpack. It's a sun compass. The board has a piece of grid paper stuck onto it. Huth has drawn a circle onto that, and in the middle of the circle, there's a hole. Huth plunges a pencil-shaped stick in the hole and lets the light hit the board.
What this does is it traces the path of the sun over the course of a day, and here is what the shadow of this little stick called a gnomon looks like. Okay, and so you can see that depending on the length of the shadow, you know, there's a precise length that corresponds to our time and our location. So this would say that it's about 10:15, pretty good, 10:19.
Wow.
And then that would be due north.
Sun compasses are old technology. Viking sailors may have used them back in the 8th century. And they're accurate enough that Huth says he's used nothing but a sun compass to navigate modern-day wilderness. He puts the board back in his pack, and we make for a local high point called Tippling Rock.
Good. I've been trying to pay attention, but...
Uh-huh. Where do you think it is right now?
That way? Totally wrong. That way. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is north? So, it's south. Okay, I got it totally wrong.
Well, no one ever said it would be easy. Undaunted, we scramble on.
Nice.
So this is Tippling Rock.
Wow. Okay. Oh, well, since we're up here, can we just spend a few minutes just chatting a bit?
Certainly.
I'm just wondering if you could tell us some other examples of navigational tools that were used by other cultures. Because, I mean, one thing that I'm thinking about is we're doing this in the daylight.
Yes.
Right? And there's a whole other system for use at night.
Right, right. So the Polynesians used a star compass. So the rising position of the stars, especially if you're near the equator, don't change much with your latitude.
When you're out in the middle of the water, in the middle of the Pacific, there isn't much else other than
stars
for navigation.
Right. There are some things that allow you to keep your bearings. So swells are the product of trade winds, and the trade winds typically blow fairly steadily from, if you're south of the equator, from the southeast to the northwest. And so the swell patterns you can use as kind of a natural compass.
You know, I am not anti-technology at all. I'm very pro-technology. Like I was telling you, we used the iPhone to help us get here to meet you. So do you think that we are missing something by being so technology dependent now?
Well, I found that out. I mean, I was falling into the technology trap, and when I started playing these games with natural signs, all of a sudden things became very enriched to me. Because you're back to using your mind and your imagination, and you aren't, you know, letting some sort of chip dictate your reality. You know, you're making your own reality in a sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, wandering is not necessarily a bad thing.
That's wonderful.
And with that, we once again get our bearings and head back down to the parking lot.
These are blueberry bushes. See? I love these low bush blueberries. They're so flavorful.
John Huth is a physics professor at Harvard University and author of the new book, The Lost Art of Finding Our Way. We've got a map of our ramble at the Knobscot Scout Reservation and a picture of that sun compass at radioboston.org. Well, stay with us, because coming up, we'll take a look inside the private correspondence of one of the greatest American composers of all time, Leonard Bernstein. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.